This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
He's my brother from the same father, different mothers. Oh, lovely. He's the cream and I'm the chocolate. And you have the cream and chocolate. Lovely, isn't so? That's what the gospel is all about, eh? Yeah, if you put white, even the keyboard, white keys don't play good. You have to mix with the black. Then you've got good melody, eh? Yeah, so God is good. Amen. Some people grow forwards as they grow in their lives, but me, I grow backwards. Amen. Yeah, you know, some people get too old quickly, but me, I grow backwards. Because this year, 3-4 days ago, I've been blessed with another granddaughter, number 11. So I've got 11 born in Kent, in England. From our son, number 4, he's got now 4 children, three boys and 1 girl. Her name is Hannah. So we are rejoicing to have number 11. I finished counting my hands, but now I'm starting on my leg. Until they are full, then I can go home. Yeah, so we are rejoicing for what God has done. Now I've got my brother. Come here, my brother. Last time I introduced you, Sipiwe. Remember Sipiwe? Yeah, that Anglican dynamite and evangelist. Now today I've got Joseph. My desire is to, you know, mentor as many young people that when I go to heaven, the work continues. I want to reproduce myself. When I reproduce myself, they become more than Stephen Lungu. Amen. So Joseph is the director of the Dorothea Mission, the ministry that led me to Jesus. Can you clap hands, man? Hey. That's the ministry where he's the director, has been chosen last week. As the director, new director of the Dorothea Mission that led me to Jesus, and where I wanted to blow up a gospel tent meeting, it was their tent. And so they are still alive, don't worry. But God has been serving the Lord for many years, and for many years also it has been white leadership. So he's been the first black leader of the Dorothea Mission in 78 years. So he's the first director to lead the whole organization in Southern Africa. And I was elected as their board chairman internationally. So I'm partly his boss, but also my son in the Lord. And so I want to praise God that as I chair all the boards in Southern Africa, he is the director for Southern Africa. And we still want to, to revamp it, put more fire into it as it was then. And so we are here to just ask you to pray for him and for the ministry of Dorothea Mission. Amen. If even you are eating your bull tongue, just say, God bless Dorothea Mission. Simply that. Say amen, please. Yeah. So, thank you very much. He's married to one wife and has got one son. God bless you, my brother. We have some pamphlets at the back. We have some pamphlets at the back about Dorothea Mission. Get one of those if you want to receive the emails. And also what we're doing, please feel free to get one for free. and the newsletters are also there. And we want you to pray for this ministry, that God will increase it, that many souls will come. We've been praying for African Enterprise, praying for Dorothea Mission, pray also like Africa Mtrope. These are great men of God. Angus Buckham, and please, these are guys who are on the forefront preaching the gospel, and they need our prayers. Do you say amen to that? Yes, and Angus is coming down here. Let's commit him into prayer. Amen. And let's pray that God will do mighty, mighty things. So don't choose, because we don't put God in a box. God is so wide, so big, so high. So let's trust this big God to do miracles here in Stellenbosch. He can. Amen? He can. Do you believe that? Your amen is too cold. I like the big amen, because we love the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And we are back in Malawi, where I moved last year, June. And I thought I had retired from African Enterprise, but I've become a chairman of many, many ministries. Chairman of another global ministry, chairman of Dorothea Mission. I am also a patron of other orphanages and so on. And I love serving the Lord. And a busy man is a good man to invite to be in the committee. Don't invite those who are lazy, but invite busy people, because they are always busy and they will do the work properly. Amen. And I'm also organizing the presidential prayer breakfast in Malawi. We have got elections in May, this May. And so before that, I'm getting all the diplomats, the cabinet ministers, members of parliament, opposition parties, and all the top people in the private sectors and so on to come on one place, including the president himself. And so we are going to invite one speaker from South Africa. I'm thinking of like people like Africa Mtrope or John van Niekerk or no church. that's in Afrikaans. Yeah, so I'm thinking of those guys. So I'm praying the Lord will pick up for me someone who will come and give it. No mercy when you preach to these people, because there's so much corruption among the cabinet ministers, corruption among the members of parliament. And so we need to preach the gospel as it is. No mercy, because Jesus is coming. Amen. Yeah, so we pray for me that as I've met most of about 14 opposition or political parties leaders and their deputies and so on. And so I'm looking for a date which the president has to give us. But also I'm not inviting the government to give me money, because if you are given money by the government, they control the meeting. And they want to bring all interfaith thing. But when I raise money, I go to the diplomats, to all the ambassadors and so on, for their discretional funds. That when I do the ministry, the government doesn't come in with their programs, and I make my own program. Amen. And they think I'm stubborn, but it's good to be stubborn. Eh? Only for that area. Good. So, thank you. 40 minutes. You bless you. Wow. I like this church. Praise the Lord. Now, I had prepared a message which I was going to preach. I've spent almost the whole day on Friday. But when I came here this morning, I got a message from CSC. We are talking about let us stand. Ooh. I said, now this is the last minute to prepare a message. So I'll preach junk to you this morning. Are you ready? Yes. We need to stand in these last days because the Bible tells us we need to stand. When you stand like a bicycle, when you just stand still, you fall down. When you stand like a bicycle, it has to move. When it stands, it has to move, then it stands. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the bicycle, when you ride it, you stop, you fall. But when you stand, it is still, you move. When you move, it moves. And you are balancing. So this is what we are going to share this morning to let us stand, reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 15 to 21. So I'll be quoting a few verses as we go on together. I remember when I came to the Lord in 1962, as I always said, I was a gang leader and a freedom fighter with my AK-47, and I came forward to accept Jesus while I had two revolvers and my AK-47. Some of you are converted with a Bible. But me, my Bible was actually the hand grenade. My Bible that time was my AK-47. I believed in it. I trusted in it. And it was like my sister, my brother. And you couldn't separate me with my AK-47. But it took Jesus to come into my life, invade my life, and my life was transformed. Then God gave me a different book. That's the Bible. And I love this book very much. And I read it. And it's like sweet and honey because it's so precious. Hallelujah. Let us read Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 15. And it starts with a warning. Verse 15 starts with a warning. It says, be careful. Now, why should we be careful? Many people, when they are born again, they love the Lord, they are careless. But the Bible is warning us to be careful. Watch out. Guard yourself. Protect yourself. Look after yourself. Both mind, body, eyes, all what you are, guard yourself. Be careful. Don't live a loose life. Because there's so much a warning as we go on. It says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. There are so many people who are unwise the way they live. When I got saved, there was one thing I had to learn in my Christian walk. Number one was, before I got saved, I was a freelance young man. I greeted girls as if I owned them. And with these high fives. Ooh, I used to use high fives to girls. And hold the hand for too long. Oh, I would hold the girl while I'm speaking to her. Hey, when you hold the hand of the girl, there's an electric current that moves. Oh, that's dangerous. And so I used to be so carefree and wise until someone told me, Stephen, don't do that. That's unwise. I said, but I'm not thinking about it. I said, no, that's unwise. Be wise because you are putting your life in danger. So the Bible for us to stand in these last days, it says, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, making the most of every opportunity. Opportunity is the time God gives you. That moment God gives you. That moment where you are in a secret place, where that moment you are in a bedroom, where that moment you are in a shower, that moment where in your car, where that moment among your friends, God has given you that opportunity. But be wise. Are we together? But be wise. Don't be unwise. And so God is telling us to be wise all the time. I remember going to New York. When I was in New York, I had just preached the gospel. Many thousands of people, I mean, I like when white people come to Jesus, because when they are crying, they become red, red, red. We black, we become pitch black. But, you know, as they were crying, I was excited. I was in the spirit that day. And then I went to my hotel room. So when I was preaching, I was on the mountaintop. But after preaching, that's where you go down to the mountain. That's where you meet the devil himself. Are we together? So I go to my hotel room. I locked. I put on my pajamas. I'm worshiping the Lord. Suddenly, I hear a violent knock. Knock, knock, knock. I said, who is knocking? So I thought someone was being killed. So I opened the door, and zoom, a young white girl under my arm. Boom. So I go to the corridor to look at someone who is chasing her. There was nobody. When I turned around, she was naked on my bed. She said, sleep with me. Now, that's where you need to be wise. But if you saw some guys from Stellenbosch, they would say, oh, thank God my forefather spirits have blessed me with a girl today. No. That's why. So what I did, the first look was not a sin. But the second look becomes a sin. So what I did was I went backwards to this other bed, pulled out the cover bed, walked backwards, threw it over the girl, raped her, forced her out, and she came to the door with her leg there. No, no, I won't go. I said, get off, Fusek, man. Hallelujah. So when she went out, her clothes were following later. Don't worry about the clothes, but throw them later. But she must get out. So she was arrested. Then I called my wife in Africa. I said, honey, this is what was happening. Can you pray for me? So I knelt down as she prayed back in Africa for me. Be wise, not be unwise. And so be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Now, every opportunity is what God has given you. For me, I don't lose any opportunity God gives me. I'd arrived in Canada in Vancouver, and I was exhausted, really exhausted, 22 hours of flying. And I'm going through this queue to present my passport. But I'm half asleep, half awake. And I said, hey, I wish I could have a bath and go to sleep. So then that was jet lag. I didn't know what was this word, jet lag. Then I went to the immigration officer with a long queue behind. And there were some guys, I don't know where they were coming, with their backpacks. A long queue with long hair and beard and so on. They frightened me. Anyway, when I gave my passport to them, they said, oh, yes, what are you doing here? Welcome, Mr. Lungu. I said, yeah, sir, are you welcome yourself? He said, oh, I'm an immigration. I said, no, I mean there in heaven. Are you welcome? I said, oh, I'm not traveling. I said, sir, you are in a supersonic speed, either going to hell or to heaven. And the men started crying. Took that opportunity to share about Jesus using my passport to this immigration officer. Broken before God, he says, can we go to my office inside, as he was crying? And then we went there. he started relating his story that he was a missionary in Burma. But his wife went ahead while he was doing the last things. But coming back, he went through Amsterdam. But when he went through Amsterdam, on his jolly walk, he walked through the red light district where he saw these naked women. And he fell into sin, another sin. And then he came back to Canada. He was a wounded soldier. And there he backslid and then divorced his wife. And here comes an African taking every opportunity. And I won him to Jesus. Broken there in his office, led him to Jesus. And now he's back as a Baptist pastor. If I didn't take that opportunity, I would have lost him. So the Bible says, be wise. Take every opportunity. Amen. Young girls, they say, boy approaches you, or sugar daddy, when he says, I love you, don't chew your thumb. Praise God. No. Look at him in the eyes. When you look at him in the eyes, okay, I know I was just joking here. Because your eyes are a message. Are we together? Your eyes is a message. You are telling him something. So, take over, be wise when the way you live. And even you young boys and girls, live that holy life that even with your body, you don't tempt this young boy. For us, we are tempted by seeing, but a woman is tempted by being touched. So you have got to be wise the way you live, because the days are evil. We are coming to the end of the ages now. We are closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus than we were before. Do you agree that? We are very, very close. Any day Jesus may come, but be wise the way you live. Amen. And then the Bible goes on to say, because the days are evil, therefore, do not be foolish. Therefore, as a Christian, do not be foolish. Because these last days, people are being cheated by so many prophets. Man, they've risen up to build churches, not to take your soul to glory, but to take your soul to hell. And yet they have a name of a prophet, a man of God. Now, when you cease to be a servant, you become a man of God. Are we together? God was saying, my servant Abraham, my servant Moses, my servant Joshua, my servant. These were servants. But now these days, people have promoted themselves from a servant to a man of God. The moment you become a man of God, you want us to polish your shoes, you want us to carry your Bible from there to here. I mean, as if it's heavy. We want you to open your door because we want you. Are almost, because you are a man of God, you people begin to worship you. Once you accept that those praises, you truly become a man of God, but not this God here. No. Are we together? So we need to be wise who you are in the Lord. That's why I've always refused these titles. Titles have taken many men of God down into the way to hell. When my wife lost in 2015, she died. And the doctor said, take this body to the mortuary. And I said to the doctor, doctor, God has the final word, not you. God has the final word. I said, no, I'm a doctor. She's gone. I said, no. God has the final word. So my firstborn daughter and our youngest daughter in Manchester, in England, she had come, and the two ladies were praying so earnestly, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And this they were praying, I just stood there. I didn't pray a prayer. Because in my spirit, I was arguing with God. I said, God, you sent me to South Africa to be a missionary with this woman who is dead now. And I can't go back in South Africa where everyone would be saying condolences. I didn't go for condolences. No, I didn't go for that. So as my two girls were praying earnestly, and I stood there watching the body, I was not crying, but in my spirit, arguing with God. And then suddenly she started coughing. And she was coughing. The doctor was, I've never seen it in my life. I said, yes, this is our God. Amen. Your medical experience was good. We thank you. But when God takes over, he does miracles. Hallelujah. So the doctor was terrified. But you know, later on, that doctor, because of this miracle, he came to Christ. Because he saw what he has never seen before. That's our God. God says, oh, when you believe in the Lord, you save. Miracles will follow after you. You just need to move, exercise, miracles behind you. They are activated. Amen? Move with God and you see what he does. Hallelujah. I love him so much. Whew. I wish I could. Okay. Yeah, she's lovely. Hey. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because there's another service which is a holy service in Afrikaans. This one is a practice. Yeah, we are just practicing in English here. But the real one is the next one. So we must come to the next one. Amen. Where we say, praise to Yere. How wonderful. Then the Bible goes on to say, therefore do not be foolish, but understand. Many people, you know, they are so ignorant. Ignorance. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, my people perish because of ignorance. So we need to be people who understand the times we live in. Like, you know, the children of Issachar, they understood the times they lived. So we as God's children, we need to understand the times we live in now. Read your newspaper. Listen to the radio. See what is happening. We are hearing so many things. Just today or yesterday, I got a clip from a lawyer, what's her name, Nadine, where this government is going to change all these things like new bill, hate speech, and so on. And so while I'm preaching here, I'm sensitive. Hey, maybe there are BCIDs here. I've got to be careful what I say. But in Malawi, I blow it as I like. Because we are more freer than here. Amen. Everyone is quiet. So we are living in days where they are so terrible, terrible, terrible. You know, in Russia now, they've forbidden people to talk about Jesus. They've forbidden people to go to churches and so on. It's illegal. So we are going to find lots of these around the world where you are challenged to compromise your faith. You are challenged to compromise your faith. If you believe what you believe, you'll be arrested because according to the new law, it's a hate speech. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I said, let us stand. Let us stand. Amen? A man who stands, stands. I've been arrested 5 times. Handcuffed. Not because I committed adultery or I killed someone. No. I've been arrested for preaching that Jesus is the Lord. Only that. I was arrested. I was arrested for saying hallelujah. Hallelujah is in public, but I was arrested. many times, 5 times, almost thrown into the river to be fed to the crocodiles. But you know, God is God. When you walk with him, you stand in him, it is where you stand. If you stand in Shofar, you are going to perish. If you stand in any church, you are going to perish. When you stand with the prophets, even major ones, you will perish. But when you stand on the rock, who is Jesus. When you stand on Jesus, you will never be shaken. Hallelujah. Psalm 40, read Psalm 40. Let's just go to Psalm 40, all of us. Man, Psalm 40, I like it. I preached in one of the biggest prisons in America. The hardest cause in America on all of those, that prison, no one has had a one life sentence. Shukran, thank you. Biden. 15 minutes to go. Then I zip my mouth. Psalm 40, here is the verse. I like this verse. Verse 2. Are we together, church? Psalm 40, verse 2. David is saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, when you wait for the Lord, something is going to happen. He says, I wait for the Lord. He turned to me. When you wait patiently to the Lord, he turns towards you. Psalm 113, he says, God stoops down. A king must never stoop down. No, it's not allowed even in our culture. But when a king stoops down, he's honoring you. Because you are special. You are like the apple of his eye. He treasures you. He loves you. Man, I don't know what to say. Is there in English? I don't know what to say, man. Because it's so sweet. When God stoops down on you, he loves you so much because you are unique. You are special. Can you say, I'm special? Some are not special. No, say it with passion, man. Hallelujah. I'm special. Yes, when you are special, he looks after you. When my wife is near me, she's so special near me. I take care of her. I look after her because her father gave her to me. Her parents gave her to me. Because she was Ekachale, her surname Ekachale. Yeah, Ekachale and so on. But when the parents walked her into the church and then came in front, those who are newly married, put up your hand. Hallelujah. Ooh, I can see some rings. Hey. So when you are walking in that church, you had a different surname. But the moment the pastor says, I pronounce you husband and wife, you lose your surname, you lose your signature, you lose who you are, you become Mrs. So-and-so. And then say, can you kiss the bride? Hallelujah. So your signature changes, your surname changes. So when God looks at you, you are special, you and invite Jesus in your life. Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus. Jesus is in God. There is a big confusion to the devil. Because he wants to look for you, but you are in Jesus. Wants to see in Jesus. Jesus is in God. But where is this guy? I can't find him. So if he wants to get me, he has to go and open God, pull up Jesus, and in Jesus, that's where I'm hiding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where I'm hiding. I'm in Christ. When I'm in Christ, this falling into sin, no, it's not there, because if Jesus falls, I will fall. So if he stands, I will stand. Because I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When you are in Christ Jesus, you will stand. Nothing can shake you. That's why in verse 2 it says, can we read together? Man, I get excited when I read the Bible. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. When God lifted you up from your sins, from your worldly life of living, when he pulled you out there, he says he lifted up from the slimy, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet in the Presbyterian church. Is that so? No. He set my feet on the rock. Hallelujah. Because in the Presbyterian church is slippery. In Shofar it is slippery, you fall. But on Jesus, you can't slip. You stand firm. When you stand firm, come any waves and storms, on the rock you stand. Hallelujah. You stand. Thank you, 10 minutes. I love you, my sister. Wow. Are you from Jupiter or Mars? You stand firm. So, we need to stand in the Lord. Let's read chapter 10, very quickly, of Ephesians. Then I come to a close. This time I'm closing the Shofar way, Stellenbosch way, not the African way. In conclusion, last point, as I finish, this African way. But this is Shofar way. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible goes on to say, finally, warning us now of being careful, finally, he says, finally. I wish I could finish this part of 15 to 21, but I have no time. Finally, he says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, in the Pentecostal church, you know, when you preach, said, how was the message? It was powerful. Was in the same way. It was powerful. Yeah. And you go to the presbytery. How was the message? Oh, Stephen preached. They talk about the person, the preacher. But in the Pentecostal, it was powerful. Hallelujah. No, listen to this. The Bible goes on to say, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his might, power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So when you stand in the Lord on the rock, you can stand against all the devil's schemes. You are not waved by the wind going to the west, to the right, to the... No, you stand because the days are evil. It's so subtle these days that sometimes you can believe some of these preachers or TV preachers or prophets and so on. How many people go to sex in thousands and thousands? Because here, they don't know the word. There's no word inside. They believe the man. Any church that lifts up the man is a sect. Any church that lifts up a man is a sect. If you start praising see us here, I will never come again. Because see us is not my God. Are we together? Any church that praises a man more than... So many preachers, many prophets have become visible God invisible. So they portray themselves. And when they protest, we change the way they wear their suits. You know their suits? They are so glittery, you know. With all these glittering things. Today they wear white and they walk, you know. He's a prophet of God, you know. And the following day they wear another suit. They wear another, you know, they drive another car. Or Rolls Royce, all these fancy cars, not like Sears with a 4x4 like me. No, sounding diesel all the time. But these people, you know, they are so big. lived with passion. Because the people who follow them don't understand the word of God. Are we together? They don't understand the word of God. And you saw when one of their prophets was arrested, even the members, I'm a prophet, I've been crying for a prophet. Not Jesus. Hey, my daughter. Mar men. Let's stand in the Lord. And then he says, you stand. I love this Ephesians. Hey, stand against the devil's schemes. Then let's skip from there. I could go on and on. Therefore, verse 13. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. And it is all written there, the whole armor. When you wear the whole armor of God, oh man, you are unstoppable. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to do what? To stand. You may be able to do what? To stand. So when you read the Bible, when things come, you stand. You know, a bottle of water here. If I tip it, it falls down. In this bottle, you are going to see a miracle today. Say amen. Because when I tip it down there, there will be milk coming from this bottle. You believe in that? You believe in that? What will come out? Water. Because we put in what? Water. So in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your body, in every, you pump in the word of God. Pump in the word of God. When the devil comes, the word of God will come out. Hallelujah. The word of God, because that's what you have fed yourself in. Put the word of God inside. Study it. Read it. When the days of evil come, you will stand. Hallelujah. You will stand. When Jesus was tempted, he used the word of God to the devil. So, yeah. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, now, proper conclusion. Wow. Hallelujah. Colossians 2. I could have read many verses. Colossians 2. As I close. Colossians 2. Verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, the word says, continue. When you stand, you must do what? Continue. Continue, you know, continue. Move up. Move on. Continue. When you move, something is going to happen. Continue. When you continue, don't be like, as I said last year, don't be like when I was a young boy playing with other boys. I used to be a boy admiring white children, you know, they would have their toys. And in my life, I've never had a toy in my life. The only toy I did was to put, you know, build mud cars with mud or wires to make a car. The engine would be on my mouth. Then sometimes I'd go on a fallen log tree. And then I would go on that tree, climb. And my friends would come behind me, climb. So I'm driving all the way to Cape Town. And vroom, we get somewhere in the middle. They got off and they take the leaves of the same tree. They pay. We move on. In our minds, we are moving. But all the while, we are on one spot. And the Bible says, continue. Don't stop. Don't be on a log. Continue. Continue. Move on. And I'm wrapping up my sister. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.